Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Woo! Good morning. Again, as always, this is Fake Energy. I am tired, but we're going to go through it. This is the WWL Draft Recap Show. It's myself, Jeff Nowak, Charlie Long, Cullen Steele behind the glass. We gave Steve the day off. He's been a busy guy.
He's been tripping through it, man.
To recoup some energy, and so we're going to have it for him here on WWL. I hope he's listening. I hope he's having some hot takes. Maybe we'll even get him to call in. Who knows? Well, we'll bug him. But anyway, we have the Saints draft class. This is WWL. We're live on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app. We're going to break down all seven Saints draft picks. Charlie, I hate to break it to you. You lost both bets on Friday.
You lost yesterday, too.
I know, but I got it Fridays right because you bet the over. You bet the over on Friday. You bet the under yesterday. Man.
Nobody expected them to take five picks, but it worked out.
But they did.
The board fell,
I'm happy about it. Yeah, I'm happy about it.
And once again, circling back around to what Mickey Loomis had said pre-draft, like in his press conference, it was back in, I think, February or maybe even March, where he said that this is a very deep draft. So it makes sense that they would want to potentially take a lot of picks later on. And I think what?
Well, I don't know. I think it was more of a strategy thing than a class thing. I think it was more about asset management than this class specifically. But go on. I'm sorry. I don't mean to interrupt you.
No, he talked about like this draft class.
I know he did.
Where he said that it is very deep. And so you make five day three picks and you feel really good about some of those picks. We'll get into it. We'll start at the top and kind of move our way down. But there's a couple of sleepers in there that I think people are going to be really excited
about. There's some really intriguing picks in there.
Absolutely.
And so let's just go through the class first off. So we'll just recap. Obviously, first round, number 14 overall, Taliese Fuanga, offensive tackle out of Oregon State. Charlie, I know you like this pick. I like this pick.
A+.
The only ding I give on this pick is not about the pick itself. It is about the scenario the Saints allowed themselves to get into, where they had no flexibility in terms of, well, this offensive tackle is on the board. We desperately need an offensive tackle. We need to take this offensive tackle. Whereas, like, if there was a kind of a and there weren't any quarterbacks left on the board. If you had gotten to a situation where there was a quarterback left on the board and someone wanted to make a massive offer to come up and get that quarterback, you wouldn't have been in a position to take it because you'd be like, we need the tackle. And so that's the only – it's not about the pick itself. I ding it down to an A- just because of the methodology it took to get there was a problem to me. Because you can't allow yourself to get into the situation where you have to make that pick, but that's not saying it's anything bad about the pick.
Yeah, okay. I mean –
I just think I like the way they approach this draft, and this is kind of leading into my larger review of, like, hey, I think the way they approach this draft and the restraint they showed in terms of I think making seven picks was a lot more about not wanting to dip into your future asset pool to make some of these moves up than it was necessarily, well, this draft specifically, we just want to stay put.
When is the last time you saw a Saints class with a first round, a second round, a third
all their
round?
Own?
a fourth round, a fifth round, and a sixth round pick, and a seventh round pick.
Well, I mean, we've seen them have picks in each round, but not all their own picks.
Yeah, every
right?
single they can like. So depending on what happens with potential compensatory,
if they're
picks,
the worst team in the NFL, they get to pick first in every round, right? Like, yeah. put it that way. Like, when's the last time that's happened?
They have now, all
if,
of their picks.
If you're in the worst case scenario, so like, think about like, why did people get so annoyed about the Trevor Penning pick? It wasn't necessarily or the trade that got you that extra pick to take Trevor Penning. It wasn't necessarily, well, we hate this guy, we hate the idea of going to get him. It was that you traded your future first rounder, which ended up being the number 10 overall pick, so the best pick you've made in a long time, the highest pick you could have made, the Eagles made it because you traded that, and that's the situation you've avoided in terms of if you end up in the worst case scenario, everything goes wrong, your quarterback gets hurt week one, you know, your offensive line is in shambles, everything goes just the worst possible way you can imagine, you at least benefit from that.
So you're looking at why they didn't trade into the third or even the fourth round is because it would have probably cost next year picks.
Yes.
Like
yes.
You probably have to trade a 2025 third round pick exactly. to get into the third round. And they were just like, eh, that's a little bit too expensive. We're going to stay put. We like some of the guys that are falling down the board and that are still high on our board to be there in the fifth round. And they got some dogs. We'll get to it.
Yeah.
Back to Fuaga. Well, actually, first and foremost, the one trade that they did make was, once again, the 45th overall pick, a fifth-round pick, and a sixth-round pick
this
to
year,
move up and get right. your dude in the second round. But we'll get to Kool-Aid in just a second.
Yep.
With Fuaga, yeah, you didn't move any future assets, which I thought was a huge win. With Fuaga, I think it's a great pick for a couple reasons. As you mentioned, you weren't kind of dinging the pick. You're just kind of dinging the position that they were in. You get the best run-blocking tackle in the class. If you're looking at the top guys that were taken, like Jawalt, and J.C. Latham's a little bit different because he is sort of a road grader. I think that Fuaga is better, but that's besides the point. Olufashinu is not – neither Alt or Fashinu were power players, as Mike likes to call them. They were more kind of technicians. They were better pass protectors. So, you know, if you're Justin Herbert, you're feeling great about Rayshon Slater and Joe Alt on both ends of your offensive
yeah,
line.
I think the Chargers should be really happy.
The Chargers are definitely really happy. And I saw that Jim Harbaugh said, like, oh, they're complaining about weapons. We view offensive linemen as weapons. So they got their weapon, and Joe Alt, you know, a bunch of people were kind of upset that they didn't potentially take a receiver there. Whatever. They got their guy. And then Olufashinu, it's a great depth piece for the Jets because they have these two super old tackles in Tyron Smith and Morgan Moses. If either one of them gets hurt or dinged
he's
up,
ready on day
they
one.
Are yeah. so like they're no longer in trouble because they have someone like Olufashinu. Once again, one of the most polished, if not the best pass pro in this class.
I am slightly disappointed because I did want to see Aaron Rodgers and Brock Bowers and you know, like Brock Bowers with the Raiders, he's just going to go there and rot. Like, he's not going to have any. Like, I like Antonio Pierce. That offense is going to be in shambles without a quarterback, and so Brock's going to
kind of...
You're
not an Aiden O'Connell believer?
Well, you've set up... You know, one of the... We've talked about, like, obviously. Okay, why doesn't it make sense to draft a first-round tight end? Because that first-round tight end almost always seems to be playing for another team by the time he's actually ready to contribute at the NFL level. What do you think's going to happen with the Raiders? They're going to struggle first 2 years. He's going to get to that point where you need to sign him to another contract, and you're going to be like, I don't like it. But either way, let's...
Penix would have been a perfect landing spot for the Raiders.
I agree, but they obviously... You know, I do wonder if, you know, they kind of got messed up by, hey...
The run on
there's no way
the
all six of these quarterbacks are going to go up in the
didn't
top
work
12,
out for
and
them.
Then they did.
But then there was that huge gap. Like, there was an ocean of a gap between 12
the
and
longest gap ever. So you had a draft where, and maybe these two things make sense together. Maybe they do make sense. You had a draft where the most quarterbacks ever in the top 12, six. And then you had a draft where the longest gap ever between drafted quarterbacks.
Six guys in the top 12. And then Spencer Rattler was the seventh guy off the board at 150.
So from number 12 to 150, that was the longest gap between drafted quarterbacks in the common draft era. But
crazy.
Let's go through, let's just name the rest of the, we don't have to go through every pick.
Yep.
But I do want to get this list out there so everyone's on the same page.
Okay,
so
then we'll start talking about the prospects.
Obviously, first round, number 14, Taliesi Fuanga, offensive tackle, Oregon State. Second round, number 41 overall, Saints traded up from 45, gave away their fifth and sixth rounder, one of them each for this year. And that's Kool-Aid McKinstry, cornerback out of Alabama, a guy that probably goes in the first round if he isn't dealing with an injury. Still ran a 4.47 on a messed up foot, Jones fracture. Then the Saints held their water. They did not make a deal to move up into the third round on day two. On day three, they sat and waited and waited and waited. 49 picks came off the board, and then they broke the skid and took Spencer Rattler, who we're going to talk a lot about. We don't have enough time to get into him this segment, but we're going to talk a lot about him. We have audio from Shane Beamer, his college head coach.
South Carolina.
One thing that I think is very funny that Spencer said on WWL on yesterday was he was at Manning, and he said it's the hottest place he's ever been in his life, which, y'all, Spencer Rattler is from the desert. Spencer Rattler grew up in Phoenix, Arizona. And I think it's more about the humidity. The funny thing, too, is I know all about Columbia. My wife is from Columbia, South Carolina. And it's, you know, I would say it rivals New Orleans in terms of humidity. A lot of people might not realize this. It's basically just a scooped out bowl. And it's just the humidity just sits on you. So I have to imagine he has some understanding of what that humidity is like. It's not the top end heat that we might get down here, but you know, it's funny. He's coming from a climate perspective. I would actually compare those two places.
I loved his story, the story that Mike told about the Manning Passing Academy, about how he had to throw, you know, from a certain distance into a basketball hoop, and all the people of the Manning Passing Academy were booing Spencer Rattler when he had to go up, and then he just drilled it, and then he won. I think Rattler said it was like
chicken,
$5,000 or some kind of certain amount of money worth of Cane's chicken or something like that. So, and he gave it to his sister because his sister loved Cane's, and it's a funny story.
Happy for him. Okay, let's keep going. So they made all 3 fifth-round picks that they had. They traded one of them away.
Super surprising.
But, so they had the number 170 pick. They spent it on Pittsburgh wide receiver Bub, B-U-B, Means, which seems like a win for Bub's Burgers, just saying. I think there's some sponsorship opportunities
so
there.
So he explained the story behind his name, and I still don't entirely understand.
Well, he's a junior, right? So he has the same name as his dad. I think it's Jerome.
Yeah.
And so it's just one of those situations where that's just the nickname he had.
But he told the story behind his nickname.
Yeah.
Like, I think his nickname was Bubble, and then it got shortened to like Bubba, and then it got shortened to Bub. So it just goes by Bub.
Yeah, so you got a Kool-Aid and a Bub.
Yeah, that's kind of fun, huh?
It's a fun little draft class. This is an all-name draft class.
Oh, for sure.
Okay, so keep going. Number 175 overall, last pick in the fifth round, Jalen Ford, linebacker out of Texas. I really like this pick. I think this is a high-character pick.
We'll get into it.
He's a winner. I think he's going to be a guy that, you know, I don't know if he's going to impact this team that much this year. I think he's going to be a special teamer, but he's going to make this roster, first of all. And
agreed.
That's not a given for a late fifth round pick.
No.
He's going to make this roster. He's going to be an impact on special teams. And I think 3-4 years down the road, you're going to be talking about a guy that can step in, you know, whenever DeMario does retire, right? I think DA joked yesterday he's going to play until he's 50, or he thinks he's going to play until he's 50. But you do have to start kind of figuring out what your depth chart is with him. And I like that draft pick a lot.
Two-time first-team All-Big 12 member at Texas at linebacker. And Mike said that he could kind of see him as a Sam for the Saints, but he was talking about it.
I think he could play all three spots.
Exactly. He was talking about he could play wherever he wants, wherever the coaching staff wants him to play at the linebacker position. But he said he's the most comfortable at Mike, which I thought was pretty interesting. We'll see. They obviously have a plan for him, bringing him in. You said special teams is something that he would probably start off doing, but once again, there's a role for this guy, and I think that, as you said, like, it's not a guarantee for a fifth-round pick to make a roster, but I think if I were a betting man, I would definitely put some money on Jerome Ford.
Yeah, and we have the audio Jaylen from Ford, his interview with local media after he was picked. I did have to break the news to him that Lil Wayne is not a Saints fan.
He's a Packers fan.
Yeah, he was surprised by that because he was talking about, oh, yeah, I love Lil Wayne. I'm like, I hate to break it to you, man.
Yeah.
He has a song called Go Pack Go.
Oof.
You're not going to love it, but hey. Yeah.
Jalen, and just talking to the guy, I mean, we'll play his audio later.
Yeah.
As you kind of mentioned, great character, dude. He's definitely someone
it's easy to understand why they were drawn to him.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, two more. And, you know, I'm usually pretty good at the first round mock draft picks. I fall off as you get to the middle round. But I did hit this one. I had him at 190. They ended up trading 190 and picking at 199. So I did miss the actual pick by
Christian
9.
Boyd?
But I do feel good about it because one of my picks in my mock draft was defensive tackle Christian Boyd out of Northern Iowa. I asked Dennis Allen if, you know, is it a situation where, you know, when you go to these small schools, you kind of feel good about the prospects, you feel good about the reviews you're getting from the coaches, and maybe that's why you would land a second Northern Iowa player in you know, a couple years of draft picks. He said no, it's just a coincidence. But I do like that pick. He joked that they got Trevor Penning a little buddy. That's a quote. I would argue that little is relative in that because these are not little men. These are gigantic men. He set Northern Iowa's bench press record. He didn't even realize there was a record that he was breaking until afterward. But he's a big
38
dude.
Reps on the bench?
Yeah, strong, older. You know, I think he's 24 right now, so he's a guy that you should expect to come in and have a little bit more maturity. I do like that pick a lot.
He was one of their top 30 visits, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and once again, what we had said back on, what was it, Thursday now, that like top 30 visits does not mean first-round picks. This is guys that you're interested in at any point in the draft process. And Christian Boyd garnered a lot of interest from them. They go out and pick him in the sixth round. He wasn't a combine guy, but he was a guy that kind of like in his offseason, like the pro day and the camps that he was at, like he just showed up like a man, Jeff.
He's a big
like
dude.
He's a big dude for one, but you get like a run-stuffing defensive tackle with a pretty high ceiling in the sixth round. I think that is great value. It is a solid pick once again.
And it's a need, too. I mean, I think he's going to get into that rotation. You know, there's guys like Jack Heflin, guys who have been around, but, you know, he's going to compete for that spot, and I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up taking the Malcolm
and
Roach.
And his mentality, just talking reps with him after he got picked, he was talking about, you know, having the mentality of being
trench
in the trenches.
Mentality.
Yeah, the trench mentality. And he's used the quote of going against grown-ass men. Like, that is, great mentality. Trying to feed their family. He needs to kind of show up and be prepared and come to work. Yeah.
I'm
very, very high on Christian Boyd.
I agree. And then the final pick, seventh round, 239. You know, these are picks that have basically, hey, is this what UDFA do you not want to have to negotiate with? Like, what UDFA do you want to just get it over with now? And they picked Josiah Ezeerum, offensive tackle out of Eastern Kentucky. He's a guy who started as a defensive tackle. He played his first two seasons as a defensive tackle and then switched sides of the ball. You know, we talked a little bit yesterday about arm length, right? Taliese Fuanga's arm length might be on the shorter side of what you'd look for. It's like 33 and an eighth. Well, Josiah's arm length is elite, right? You're talking 35, 36 inches. And, you know, I think that's what you're looking at with him is just you try to find an elite trait late in the round, and that's what you have. And, you know, I don't think he's a guy who's going to impact this team much. He might not even make the roster. He might be a practice squad guy.
Yeah.
But I do think that that's a good pick late in the draft where, you know, you're just looking for a shot that you can develop a guy, dev traits, and I think that's what that is about.
Developmental piece. And like you said, it's a perfect way of putting it. I'm trying to double check here. I think it was John Hendricks that had put out that he had worked with Jari Evans in the offseason, which is kind of interesting. I'm forgetting which exact bowl or camper or whatever it was at. But he had worked with Jari, and maybe this was Jari Evans saying, I really, really like this guy. I like his ceiling. Like, let's go get him. But yeah, it's rounding out, you know, seven picks taken.
For the second year in a row.
Yeah, from, you know, first round pick, second round pick, big gap from 45 all the way to 150. But then you get some great value picks from 150 all the way into the seventh round. Seven picks taken, Jeff. It's a little bit surprising. I think they entered it with nine picks once again. We didn't expect them to take nine, but I don't think I really expected them to take seven. And you're talking about seven guys that, I mean, each of these guys has an argument to come and compete and get that roster spot, especially those top picks off the board. Like, I don't know, Jeff. I think it's a definite win.
And the fascinating part is that how many analysts love this draft. You know, you get used to people hating the Saints draft.
Well, I think they made some great value picks.
Yeah, they did.
I mean, Fuaga was a
people
perfect...
love the Rattler pick.
Yeah, because Rattler was seen as a day two pick. He was seen as maybe a late second, early round three guy, and that's kind of where I saw him as well. Like maybe Michael Pratt, who fell into the seventh round, is like the quarterback.
He was in a pool when he
the
got
quarterbacks
picked.
Were crazy this time around. Six quarterbacks in the top 12, and then Rattler, who was on most people's boards a second, maybe third round pick, falls all the way into the fifth, and not even like the middle of the fifth. And the Saints are just like, okay, we'll take him.
Yeah.
Like, on some big boards, I'm sure people had him in maybe the 70s to 80s or something like that. He's at 150.
Yeah, that's
you,
nuts.
You want to talk about value? Yeah, that's
I do. Yeah, you love it, and there's a lot to like. Anyway, this is it. This is I almost said Inside Black and Gold. That's the podcast. This is WWL. We are recapping the draft. We're taking you up till 12:30. Myself and Charlie Long. We went through all the draft picks. Next segment, we're gonna come back. We're gonna go through the UDFAs. There are 15 of them, and at least one that I feel really good about in terms of this is a name you might remember because he's made big plays. We're gonna go through that. Tell us what you think of the draft. Hit us up in the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talking text line, 504-260-1870. You've already got some texts in there. We're going to go through them. This is WWL.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
And we are back. Jeff Nowak, Charlie Long, Cullen Steele behind the glass. Hit us up on the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. Call in, hang out. Let us know what you think of the Saints draft class. We went through the seven draft picks, the drafted players in the last segment. This segment, we're going to go through the undrafted players. There are 15 of them. The Saints agreed to terms with all of these players. It's official as of last night. So we're going to go through them all. We don't have time to get deep into every single one, but I do want to name them all for people listening in case there's some names on there that you're excited about. We did get a text already about this first player, so we'll get into him first. And this is a player that I feel like, you know, in terms of need, in terms of, you know, upside, I think is really intriguing. And it is Dallin Holker, tight end, Colorado State. You know, you might recognize that name if you, you know, because if you recall, Colorado was the talk of the town early in the season, right? That they had that crazy game against Colorado State. I think it was double overtime, triple overtime. Dallin Holker is the one who caught the Hail Mary pass in that game to extend it for Colorado State. And, you know, you may also remember at the combine, he accidentally caught two balls in a drill that he was only supposed to catch one. So he caught some attention that way. Obviously, as you can probably infer from that, he's got good hands, right? You know, he's an athletic guy, although his RAS score was a little lower than you probably would expect for the Saints to target. I think they got somebody there.
To my fellow NFL Stock Exchange fans, I think that they call him the Incredible Hulker.
Nice.
And I think that that was kind of a guy that I was surprised didn't get drafted. I mean, with his tight end class the way it was, once again, there was Brock Bowers in the first round, and then there was a big gap. And I thought that a lot of people figured that Jatavion Sanders from Texas would be the second guy off the board. He was, in fact, not. It was Ben Sennett from Kansas State. And Jatavion Sanders ended up going to Carolina with the first pick of the fourth round. I thought that was good value for them. How many tight ends were totally drafted in this class? I would have to double check because I want to say that there was kind of a late run on them a little bit.
That makes sense because I just feel
it
like
it wasn't a great class was for not, tight no. ends. So if you're wanting to go get a guy, you can go spend a late pick on him. No one ended up spending a pick. Colin's just letting me know in my ear. 12 total. So 12 tight ends were taken after, you know, one was taken in day one. I think two were taken on day two. So, yeah, you're looking at 10 guys got selected on day three. And Holker was not one of them. So
Cade Stover was, and they had a lot of talk around him. You know,
that pick was so stupid.
Messing with Bulls.
No, I mean, I think it was like Cleveland sent that pick to Houston, and then Houston sent it to Philly, And then Philly is part of their one of their nine draft day trades or send draft weekend trades. Send it back to Houston. And it's just like the draft is so silly at times. So, yeah, Caden, I mean, a lot of tight ends taken. Holker was not one of them, surprisingly enough. So I'm sure the Saints really jumped on that and got him as one of those early unrestricted free agents, undrafted free agents.
No doubt. So you also have the, you know, we already got the kicker, you know, in terms of the kicker competition. There's always, it's every year you bring in a kicker to
punter. You have to.
You brought in Charlie Smith, the international guy. So you could consider him one of your UDFAs, technically a free agent.
Yeah. Was he Irish?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like Gaelic football. You know, we talked to Darren Rizzi about this. The funny thing about Gaelic football is they don't get paid. Like, they don't get a salary for Gaelic football. They make a ton of money in endorsements, but they'll play in front of 80,000 people, and everyone in the building is getting paid more than they are. Whoa. They're celebrities, right? Because it's such a massive thing there, but they don't even make a salary. Everyone knows who Charlie Smith is in Northern Ireland.
That's funny.
No one here knows who Charlie Smith is. Anyway, he's the kicker, but he's not a UDFA. He's just a free agent that they already brought in. The punter, Matt Highball. I need to look up how to say his name. I'm choosing to say Highball.
Yep.
Because that's what it should be, because he's a punter.
That's a good name for a punter.
It is. Either way, when you have ball in your name and you're a kicker, you know, like Brian Longwell was always my favorite for a kicker name. David Akers was really good too. Anything about distance as in terms of like
David Akers.
And then there was like Taylor Blewett, which was like, oh man, that's a rough name for a kicker.
Badgley, they call him the money badger.
The money badger?
Yeah, I love that.
Except he misses.
Yeah, exactly. So it makes it even
more
funnier.
Like Madgley, because he always misses and Badgley. Makes you magic. Anyway. Okay, so moving on. Matt Highball out of Vanderbilt. He's the punter. You know, I think there's a competition to be had there. I know, you know, I wasn't as negative on Lou Headley as some others. I think he had a better season than he got credit for, even though the distance wasn't as exciting as you probably got used to Blake Gillikin. I think he still wins that job, but it'll be interesting to watch that competition. Moving on, Jermaine Jackson, in terms of, like I said, all-name draft.
Mm-hmm.
All-name draft. Jermaine Jackson, wide receiver out of Idaho, not Ohio. You look at this and you say, okay, every year, the Saints, they got to find at least one return guy. You know, you bring in a punter, you bring in a kicker, you bring in a return ace. That's what you have there.
Rashid Shaheed worked out pretty well. And yeah. Deontay Hardy before that.
Well, and like Darren Rizzi said, now you have two returners on kickoffs who you need both of them to be elite guys so they can't try to avoid your elite returner.
Yeah.
And so maybe that is an opening for another. You know, last year they brought in Malik Flowers and he didn't make the roster, but maybe this is a year where you can find a spot for a second return ace. I don't know. But Jermaine Jackson, wide receiver at Idaho. He had four return touchdowns. I think they were punt returns. But yeah, he's just a speedster. He's 5'7", so he's in that Deontay Hardy mold.
Yeah, exactly.
Keeping going, Noreddin Nwuneli. I'm sorry, I probably butchered that name. Offensive lineman out of Nebraska. Mm-hmm. Any thoughts on him before we go on?
No, I mean, we're just rolling right along, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of these names. We'll dive into them more as camp gets here. Rookie camp's going to be coming up shortly, and we'll get in a little bit more information about them. But a guy I do like, Mason Tipton out of Yale, fast dude. I believe he ran a 4.3 40. A lot of people are high on him, so I'm interested to see what he looks like. We obviously talked about Holker. A guy I'm interested, eager to talk to Cullen about. I know Cullen has some fun facts about this next guy. Kyle Sheets, wide receiver out of Slippery Rock.
Slippery Rock University.
Yeah, tell me about Slippery Rock. Tell me about, what's the mascot's name?
It's Rocky. It's like a lion because he's the pride.
He's a lion.
He's a lion, yes. It's not
a
rock.
I thought he was an actual rock.
I assumed so too, but it's a lion named Rocky.
Can you imagine? I thought it would just be a rock.
I thought it would be like a rock that they like poured water on.
Yeah, like same. I thought it was like a very slippery rock.
Yeah.
Oh, no, come on.
Well, I mean, Clemson, they run down. They have like a magic rock,
but they got the tigers. Like you have to have something.
That's true.
Right? Like,
the rock isn't the mascot.
You can't
they just
have a rock.
They all just rub it.
Okay, isn't Stanford like a tree?
Yes. And they're
yeah,
a cardinal, but
they're cardinal, but it's a tree.
I've always assumed it was the. I've always assumed the bird is somewhere in there.
I don't know. Yeah, but maybe it's got a nest in the tree.
Isn't the mascot a tree? I remember the mascot being a tree.
Right, but I just assume there's a bird in there somewhere. Is that not what it's supposed to be?
Well, Slippery Rock University is an hour north of Pittsburgh.
Okay.
Yeah, so here's the thing about Kyle Sheets is Emory Hunt, a former UL grad, go Cajuns, talked about him as one of those really, really deep sleepers that he likes a lot. And this is a guy that, you know, once again, Slippery Rock doesn't have any type of pro day. So he shows up to Temple's pro day, and he kind of participated there and impressed a lot of scouts. And he ends up not getting selected. He's a God, great size. 6'4", 220, Jeff.
Wow.
Yeah, he's a really big dude. Ran a 4'5", 240, 37-inch vert, benched 225 pounds 16 times, and measured in yet at 10 feet and 2 inches in the long jump. So, yeah, I mean, this is kind of a sneaky little pick. And he had great production at Slippery Rock. Once again, it's a Division II school, Division II football program. There's probably the reason that he didn't get drafted. But it's a sneaky little pickup as an undrafted free agent. This is kind of like you talked about Holker was your guy. I'm putting my name attached to Kyle Sheets and hoping that he does well. And I'm getting – because he got the Emory Hunt seal of approval. So, Emory, I'm right there with you.
All right, let's just go through the rest of the names quickly. Nathan Latu, defensive end out of Oklahoma State. He's not related to Leitu Latu, who was the top defensive end off the board in this draft, but he is related to Cam Latu, who was the tight end out of Alabama last year.
Yeah.
So there is a legacy going on there. He's a really intriguing guy. He's an edge rusher, but he's a little smaller than the Saints would typically go for, 6'4", 250. You know, more of an athletic guy, so it'll be interesting to watch. Maybe a practice squad candidate. TCU safety, Millard Bradford's another one. Another fun name to say. Your annual, we got a Tulane guy, right? Offensive lineman, yep. Sincere Haynesworth.
A guy that Mike had said he's maybe a little bit undersized, but he's a great leader up front.
I think he's a guard prospect.
Yeah, I would agree. So, but, I mean, as a center at Tulane, he was like the guy calling all the shots for that team.
Right.
I know that Matty Hudak was really high on him as well. Mike D'Atelier just really liked how much of a leader he was up front. But, once again, he is a little bit undersized for a center.
I think there's a spot to be made on this roster for a guard. Right, so if you're competing at guard, and you look at UDFAs, you're like, okay, how do they make the roster? I think if you're a guard coming into this roster, there's spots to be won.
Which is interesting because the seventh round pick that was used on Zerum, I think that the plan for him is what DA had said is that he's going to be a tackle. Like he came out as an offensive tackle prospect. Obviously, Fuanga, you expect to be the right tackle of the future for this team. Maybe if like Ramchek works out with him, like maybe he could start as a guard.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I don't think so either. I think you want him where he's the most comfortable, and that's at right tackle.
I agree. Okay, so just going through Kyler Baugh, defensive tackle, Minnesota. Charlie, a guy that you're going to want to stand for, but we don't have time right now. We'll come back and talk about it later. Running back, Jacob Cabote out of UL.
Go Cajuns.
Raging Cajuns. He had Lawrence
Johnson.
They're always
getting those local prospects.
Yes. Lawrence Johnson, defensive back out of Southeast Missouri State. Rico Payton, defensive back out of Pittsburgh State. Isaiah Stallbird, linebacker out of South Dakota State. And I believe that is the list. That is your UDFAs. There's obviously going to be some rookie camp invites. We're going to be out there. We're going to talk to a lot of these guys. But interesting class, UDFA class. You know, this is going to be a tough nut to crack for the Saints with 7 draft picks that you're competing with. But, you know, there's some interesting names on there.
I agree 100%. I think that, you know, once again, the UDFAs, how many of them will you end up carrying? Not really sure, but there they are. And we'll kind of get more into the draft picks, I think, coming up here, Jeff.
Before we get too separated from the conversation, I dug a little bit thanks to a caller. The Cardinal isn't a bird. It's referencing the color for the Stanford
team. No, I know.
And apparently the tree isn't even the mascot. It's like the tree is like a member of the band who's been mistaken for the mascot. So they don't even have a mascot. It's just like the Cardinals is a color.
The tree's a member of the band?
Apparently. Which makes even less sense to me.
Stanford nerds. Anyway, go hang out with Cal. Fight over an axe. Okay, this is WWL. We are recapping the Saints 2024 draft. We're taking you up till 12:30. Let us know what you think in the Oakland Jewelers Talking Text Line. 504.
That tree plays.
504-260.
He's a trombone
1-870. Hang out. This is WWL.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Back in on WWL, Jeff Nowak, Charlie Long, Cullen Steele behind the glass. And, you know, we talked a lot about the Saints draft class. There was another Louisiana guy who went in the draft, shipped up to Buffalo.
First pick of the second round.
He's got fans already.
I love Keon Coleman.
And I don't know if you heard it, but he started off his introductory press conference with the Bills media in the most Louisiana way possible, right? Opelousas. You can take the kid out of Opelousas. You can't take the Opelousas out of the kid. Yeah, let's hit that clip.
Huh?
Got you a coat from here?
Nah, man, you forgot I went to school in Michigan for 2 years? You guess where I got this from, though. I'm saying you got to guess. You're going to be wrong, though, but guess.
Time is up.
Nah. Macy's. What you mean? they be on sale on the rack. All the colors. Look, $79.89. Nice little deal. You can get the trench coat for like $100. Nice little. I take you there personally. I might go get some more colors. I need a blue one and another red one.
Got you. I'm with you. It's
good Thanksgiving sales, too. That's what I usually do. See, I ain't know nothing about Thanksgiving. I shop like my mom. I get my coats in the summertime. You got to shop a season or two before, just in case, you know, and they be cheaper. Because you go at Thanksgiving, everybody in Thanksgiving, you know what I'm saying? Who we starting with? Oh, we can go. Oh, my bad. Hold up. Y'all can hear me? This on or this off? All right, bro. I'm just making sure I'm hoping he ain't trying to set me up. Who we got going first?
That's so good. The funny thing about it, you can't see it in the clip. They're talking about his jacket,
yes.
Right? And I think the reason they're pointing it out is because he's wearing a puffer jacket in like the end of April to May. But he's in Buffalo, so it's cold.
Yeah.
You know, like it's not cold. To them, it's not cold.
Opelousas Catholic boy. Like,
to us.
It's so awesome.
You know,
so funny.
What's the current temperature of Buffalo, New York?
Yeah, he is a thrifty gentleman as well. Like, I love that term because he's talking about he gets his coats in the summertime just like his mom. It's so funny. Yeah,
it gets down into the 50s in May in Buffalo.
Keon Coleman's a character. He goes to Michigan State for the first 2 years. That's why he kind of mentioned, Michigan?
Well, he asked who he thought gave him the jacket, and the guy said Tom Izzo.
Oh, okay.
That's why he was like, no, Macy's.
Yeah. That's funny. So he started out in Michigan State, comes down to Florida State. I think that Mike kind of talked about Keon, and he's just like, yeah, LSU was a little bit late on the process of trying to get him. And then he burned them in week one of just this past season. So Keon Coleman goes to FSU, has a little bit of an up and down season, but he was
touchdowns.
A legit prospect. If you're talking about the top receivers in this class, like you could not leave his name out of the top 10.
He was my mock draft. He got to me at 45 in my mock draft. It was a no-brainer. I took him. He did not get past pick number 33 in the draft, as we probably should have seen coming. Great pick by them. They traded back and still got him.
Yes.
But no, it's a great rune for Keon. I'm looking forward to seeing up there with Josh Allen.
I saw like the NFL.com comp for him was like Drake London or something like that.
I can see that.
Like, yeah, I could as well. I really like that someone comped him as Keenan Allen. I think that Keon Coleman, he's going to be a really successful receiver. I would be willing to put my personal bet on that.
I agree with that. I'm looking forward to watching. But all right, one more break here before we get to the top of the hour. This is WWL. I'm Jeff Nowak. He's Charlie Long, Cullen Steele, hanging out behind the glass, working all the knobs and bells and whistles that we need so much. Keep it locked on WWL. All right, short segment here. Getting you to the top of the hour. I'm Jeff Nowak, Charlie Long, Cullen Steele at Master Control, and we are going to be bringing you more. We kind of recapped the first round, the UDFAs, but I do want to dive a lot more into some of these prospects. I want to get your grade, Charlie. A lot of analysts are loving this draft for the Saints.
I love it too.
Spencer Rattler is going to be a big topic in the next segment.
Oh, yeah.
But, Charlie, you know what? Quick grade. Before we go on, what's your grade for this draft?
The entire draft?
Yes.
Giving it an A. Yep.
Love it.
Feel great about it, man. I really do.
This is WWL. Keep it locked. We're taking you up till 12:30. Who dat? Let's go.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
For a tax
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.